Ophira, did I just hear you, did you just open a beer?
Yeah, it's not like I have anywhere to drive.
Yeah, no. That's true. I only ask because I also have a beer.
Ah, nice. What do you got there?
I have a Guinness draft.
Ooh,
here. Nice. My one complaint about this Guinness draft is that I think it is the one that sat outside after a 4th of July party several years ago for a couple of days in the backyard. And then we put it in the cabinets and we're like, oh, we should throw that away. But then I didn't throw it away. And that it happens to be the only beer I have in the house right now. But, you know, these are hard times and we have to make you go to war with the army you have.
This week was hard. So I feel like any chance to have a little extra celebration. I knew that I was going to be able to talk to you. And I thought, oh, I will have a cocktail hour with Jonathan Colton.
Cocktail hour with Jonathan Colton. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it
just
is
a
nice.
couple of pals having cocktails together.
Just a couple of pals hanging out, doing a show. Do you want to play the song?
Yeah, sure. I'll play the song.
Excellent.
Here we go. From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from inside our respective homes in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Sweatpants, Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hey!
Woo!
Woo!
So what's new with you, Ophira? What have you been up to?
What have I done? I've accidentally clicked on Instagram stories of people basically talking to the screen, and then they say hello,
like a
Ophira.
Live, yeah, one of the Instagram live feeds, yeah.
Yeah, because everyone's just talking to each other for all of us to be part
watch.
Of.
Sure.
To watch, yeah. But it is weird that we are just throwing it all out there.
Yeah. Living my life through screens all the time. It's very... It's very wearying. The thing about it is I have some friends who have taken to, calling me, like starting a FaceTime with me.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue.
Oh, no.
Without any prep work, without any warning. And so suddenly, it's like their face is at my window.
No.
Hi,
yeah,
are
right.
you here? Are you here? You want to talk? And I find it weirdly intrusive.
Yeah, and you can just see their thought. They're like, oh, I'm just going to FaceTime with Jonathan right now, see what he's up to. And all of a sudden you're
Yeah, what are you doing in my house? That's what it feels like.
It's like your annoying neighbor. Hi. I can see it. I can see your home.
I knew your home, and I saw that you have $20, so I came by to borrow $20.
So do you ignore them, or do you pick them up?
No, I pick them up because I'm terribly lonely.
You know, and I have had similar things or even just phone calls. I do panic when someone calls me on the phone. And I really appreciate that some people know how to gracefully end a phone conversation, because that is an art and it is a lost art. Because we all used to know how to do that. Just find the natural ending, the natural closure, and leave.
My dad's thing is to say, well, I'll let you go. He says that every time.
Oh, yeah. That's
like
one of my favorites.
Like he's doing me a favor.
Right. Well, I know you, and I'm going
to
let you go.
I know you're busy. I know you don't want to talk to me.
You know, my mother always used to say, love you, but leave you at the end of a conversation.
What is that? That means I love you, but I'm leaving right now, the conversation?
You know, she would, she lived in Canada for 50 years of her life, but it was always like she'd just gotten there. And so I feel like she would take little things like from songs or expressions or, common sayings, and she would just put them in her own
assemble
interpretations.
Assemble them into some new idea.
That's
very
right.
cute. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So at the end of a conversation, she'd be like, love you, but leave you. I'd be like, I think that's what you say to someone when you're breaking up with them.
One of the funniest things that a friend of mine ever did to me was I was talking to them on the phone, and it was nearing the end of the conversation, and they said, hey, tell me if this sounds like a phone hanging up. And then they hung up on me.
No.
And for a second, I was like, yeah, that really did sound... Hello?
That's terrible.
No, it was a funny joke. I appreciated it.
Yeah, that's on par with the first time and only the first time that someone's voicemail was, the old, hello? Hello?
I think my voicemail message is still like that. Sorry, everybody.
That's great.
Well, Ophira, I guess I'll let you go.
No. Hang on. You've got some time. I know you've got some time.
I do. I have nothing but time.
You know what I need? I need to do this show. It would really make me feel so much better.
Yeah, I need to do the show too. Let's do a show.
Let's do a show. We have a packed episode on today's show. Joining us from his famed garage, we have podcast icon and actor Marc Maron. And we have two lovely sets of contestants. We played some games with musicians Amy Mann and Michael Penn. But first, we have New Yorker cartoonist Emily Flake and her husband John Pastore. Just so you know, we had some technical difficulties when we recorded this, but it still works, I think. I have no idea. I haven't slept in days. It's all a bit of a blur.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all doing our best here.
That's right. Emily Flake. And we wrangled in your husband, John Pastore, into this. Thanks.
Hello.
So how are you guys doing? What are you doing to kind of keep sane?
Sane is not a metric I acknowledge anymore. I can't put a do not disturb on my child, by the way, so I can't guarantee this is going to
totally
be a fine. Completely...
totally fine. Yeah, no, we've had lots of interruptions as part of what it is. Yeah. Emily, you've always been a baker, I know, because I will know you in person, but also because you post the most amazing things that you have concocted all the time on Instagram. How's your baking game?
You know, the first couple weeks I was doing a lot of like stress and quarantine baking because it made me feel better. And I haven't baked anything this week, in part because it seems almost wrong to partake in joy. I don't know. That and my daughter asked me why I looked pregnant the other day. So there's that.
Oh, that's nice. That's yeah. What you want to hear.
Absolutely. She always knows just what to say.
You're like, great. Yeah. Everyone, yeah. We all feel so close right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys doing anything for Passover or Easter in your house to have fun?
I actually bought both American Cadbury cream eggs and the parallel import British Cadbury cream eggs that you can get at a place in Park Slope a few weeks ago. So I'm going to hide those, let Tug find one, and eat the rest myself.
Just, wow. How many do you have?
Like 8.
All right. We have a couple games for you. What do you say? You want to play a couple games that have nothing to do with anything?
Yay.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what we've got for you. We have a game called Speeches and Songs. So each clue is a mashup of two clips. The first is an actor performing a famous line from Shakespeare, and the second is a pop song. So you're just going to tell me the Shakespeare play or the song title or the band or artist, or you can just share a thought that you've had sometime in your life. That
this is not a softball question, man.
I said you could share a thought. You can share a thought. We have loads of hints, and you'll be surprised. Okay. All right. So, Emily, this is for you. The first part of this clue comes from Dominic West in a 1999 film adaptation.
The course of true love never did run smooth. Just like the ocean.
Okay, the Shakespeare clip was Romeo and Juliet, and the song clip played every 5 seconds when I was a pizza delivery girl in Baltimore.
That part
That's
is correct.
The name of that song, right?
Yeah, it's called Emily's Pizza Delivery Career.
Or the artist. Yeah. You could also give us the artist.
Santana?
Yeah, that is correct. Okay, so everyone thinks that quote is from Romeo and Juliet, but it's Demetrius from A Midsummer Night's Dream. But yeah, that was Smooth Santana featuring Rob Thomas, which makes just as much sense
disgusting.
As Santana working with Shakespeare, I suppose. Yeah, I know.
All right, John, here's one for you.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely play.
I have no hope for the Shakespeare. I'm not even going to take a stab at it. I secretly love that Taylor Swift song.
That's a good song. It's a good song.
It's a great song. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I think it is.
There's no shame. There's no shame in loving Taylor Swift. The play was actually As You Like It.
Emily, here's Helen Mirren as Prospera in Julie Taymor's 2010 adaptation.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on.
Who am I to disagree? I
Can I just say the song first? Because that's Sweet Dreams. Sweet Dreams Are Made of This by the Eurythmics.
That's right. That is correct.
And the play is a thing I should know.
Is it?
I'm going to guess Romeo and Juliet for everything because eventually we're going to get there, even though I know that's not Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, that's okay. That's The Tempest.
Right.
Yeah.
And I went to art school, man. What do you want?
Listen, we didn't write this for you because of your Shakespeare knowledge. You're here because you guys are personalities and accomplished people who can play games, okay?
That's
Thank
right.
you for making me feel better about knowing exactly one Shakespeare play.
All right, John, this is for you. It's your last clue. It starts with Lawrence Fishburne.
I kissed you. Killing myself to die.
Kiss.
I'm gonna guess Othello for the quote, and I actually don't know that song, and it doesn't have any memories or.
You know what? You are correct. It is Othello. Well done.
Woo. Yeah.
Wow.
Look at you.
All right.
Getting a Shakespeare play. And the song was actually Faith Hill, This Kiss.
I know. I got to say, though, that Othello, Lawrence Fishburne, very seductive.
Yes.
In that.
Yeah.
Part. My goodness, all breathy.
Can we just play that again
crazy.
A few times?
Yeah, very sexy death scene.
It's the closest I'm getting to kissing during this whole pandemic. And my husband's with me. Okay, guess what? It's a tie.
Yay.
Yeah,
oh, our marriage is so equitable. We're both
nice?
A little dumb.
After the break, we'll play another game with our friends Emily Flake and John Pastore. And later, I'll talk to WTF podcast host and Glow star, Mark Maron. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time, free of charge. Visit betterhelp.com/ask to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp. This message comes from NPR sponsor HarperCollins, publisher of The Faceless Old Woman Who Secretly Lives in Your Home, a new novel from Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner, creators of the Night Vale podcast and authors of Welcome to Night Vale and It Devours. In Night Vale, there is a faceless old woman who secretly lives in everyone's home, but no one knows how she got there or where she came from until now. Welcome back to Night Vale, The Faceless Old Woman, available wherever books are sold.
In Cherokee Nation, a feud has been simmering for more than 180 years.
I always joke that the Ridges and the Rosses were like the Montagues and the Capulets. We've been fighting for so long that people don't really know why, but in Cherokee, we know why.
That's next week on Code Switch from NPR.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Learning How to Cut Your Own Hair. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'm growing out my bangs. So this week, we're calling our friends to play some games. And right now, we're here with New Yorker cartoonist Emily Flake and her husband, John Pastore. Emily, John, do you want to play another game with us? Are you up for it?
Yes, we are.
Let's do it.
This trivia game is about people, inventions, and works of art that were at first passed over, mocked, and yet they later rose to prominence. This is a game that really just brings together everybody's revenge fantasy. Okay, John, in the 18th century, this newfangled object was criticized for being too French and for defying the heavenly purpose of rain, which obviously was to make people wet.
An umbrella?
Yeah, that's right.
Woo.
Too French.
I was going to guess bidet, but...
That's where I was going at first.
Emily, here's one for you. In 1851, a rejection letter for this book read, First, we must ask, does it have to be a whale? We recommend an antagonist with a more popular visage among the young readers. For instance, could not the captain be struggling with a depravity towards young, perhaps voluptuous maidens?
I'm going to go ahead and guess Moby Dick.
That is correct. I love that idea. It's very Hollywood. Does it have to be a whale? Can it be sexy ladies instead?
Can we now rewrite Moby Dick with sexy ladies as the antagonist?
I think it's a million-dollar idea. Uh-oh. Ophira's audio has cut out. Can't hear you, Ophira.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh,
yay!
Okay.
When did you cut out, Ophira? We were doing the Moby Dick question.
Yeah, was that fun? Did you guys have a good time with that answer?
It was a blast.
Oh,
man, you missed maybe the best question we've done in this whole game.
Did you talk about the maidens?
We talked about the maidens and we made some Hollywood jokes. It was a good time.
Yeah, yeah. No middle-aged maiden. Did you talk about that? a maiden. Okay. John.
All right.
John. This former Baltimore anchorwoman said that she was demoted for being too emotional. She said they didn't want to pay out my contract, so they just kept me on and said, we'll put you on this talk show just to run out your contract.
Oprah.
That is correct.
Woo! That was a guess.
Oh, hey, who's joining us? Hi.
This is my daughter, Augustine, also known as Tug. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi, Tug. How's it going?
Good.
Tug is 7 and currently completing second grade online.
Oh, are you learning a lot?
Not really.
That's the same. Yeah, me too.
Me
I'm not learning. Nope, nothing. Nothing. Okay, I'm going to talk to your mommy for a second, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here you go. Proving that critics are clueless, art critic Louis Leroy called this painter's work impression because it looked incomplete, more like a mere impression of a scene. He wrote, a preliminary drawing for a wallpaper pattern is more finished than this seascape.
Monet?
Claude Monet is correct.
I'd be in a lot of trouble if I biffed that one, I think.
Louis Leroy or Louis Leroy. I have no idea, but I'm assuming it's Louis.
It just would be, wouldn't it?
So guy
typical.
Sounds like a jerk.
Typical of the French to have a French pronunciation of their French names. Sick of it.
That guy would hate cubism. He didn't even know what was coming. I just want to say live shows are so much easier. Also, thank you for being part of the most technically weirdly fraught trivia show.
I am a hero.
Emily, John, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for dropping in and playing a couple games.
Thank you so much for having us. This was so much fun.
And we have two more friends on the line with us. We have power couple, singer-songwriter, composers, Amy Mann and Michael Penn. Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
How's it going? How are you guys managing?
What kind of pandemic are we having?
Yeah, what kind of pandemic are you having?
Michael has been very productive. Like, he's always working. He has a home studio and he's always working. And I have just been kind of wandering around the house in shock.
Being in a home studio doesn't necessarily mean one is productive.
Michael has the appearance of working every day.
That's right. That's what it is.
By the way, I don't know what room you're in, but that is that's a nice built-in bookshelf, I'm just going to say.
This is Michael's studio, and it's soundproofed, and it's got a secret bookcase door.
No way.
Uh-huh.
I've seen the secret bookcase door. It's fantastic.
It's pretty great.
Where does it go to?
Well, you go from the kitchen. The kitchen is kind of connected with a little library, which serves as the dining area. And so the bookcase sort of makes sense with the dining room.
Ah.
You know, so then you go through the bookcase and here you are into the secret studio.
Like you live within the board game Clue.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've been also talking to other people that are couples that are together through this time. And it sounds like you guys are used to being at home together a lot of the time. So I'm sure your relationship already exists in that world. But has anything new come up? More arguments?
No.
Cooking together?
There's definitely a feeling of relief that this is the person I am quarantined with.
Yeah, ditto.
And not other people.
Oh, yeah.
Just one thinks about other people and one goes, oh boy, that would be such a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also realizing that, you know, we bought a bunch of food and I'm not used to having this much food in my fridge. And I am really bad at understanding how long things start to rot.
Every time Michael buys bananas, I go through the same shock at how fast bananas ripen. What, these bananas? You just got them a week ago. Like, yeah. Bananas, you buy them when they're green and then they turn a different color over a series of days.
Well, in my defense, the only reason I bought new bananas is because she separated the bunch of bananas and hid them in different places. So I didn't know we had any.
Because I was trying, because I looked up like how to keep bananas from ripening fast.
I thought it was some sort of quarantine scavenger hunt.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'm hiding my nuts.
From your experiment, which bananas ripened quicker than the others?
It feels like it all. Like, first of all, you're supposed to wrap the stems in plastic or foil or something.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
And also separate them. And I feel like that didn't do anything. Mm. All that effort did nothing.
All that effort. Hours. Bananas. Hours upon hours.
Hours of banana separation came to naught.
Wasted.
All right. Hey, do you guys want to play a couple games with us?
I mean, not really, but we will.
Great. Let's, you know what? That is the closest to yes I could expect from anyone right now.
We'll take it. It's fine.
We have a music parody game for you.
Fantastic.
We have Jonathan Colton willing to play live.
Yeah.
Actually, I was just thinking, Jonathan, you must be very happy right now that you are a solo artist. Like, I know you play as part of a band. You and Amy have played duets before, but right now being a solo artist
makes it possible for me to continue my craft even though I'm alone.
You need to, that's true. You need to get like a foot tambourine and cymbals, you know, that you play with your knees.
Yeah,
and
like a bass drum that I wear on my back.
Yeah, exactly.
Stomp around.
Mm-hmm. Like
smash,
this is
smash, smash, that kind of sound.
Then get a monkey.
Make the monkey play it all.
Quarantine with a monkey.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, I feel my heart goes out to all the organ grinders out there. So we rewrote funky songs to make them about funky things, as in strong-smelling things. Ah. So just tell me the stinky thing that I'm singing about and or the original song title or artist. And just an aside, I have to say, if you had told young teenage me that someday I would be playing funk songs about stinky things for Amy Mann and Michael Penn, I would have thought you were crazy.
Dreams come
true. It's an honor. It's an honor.
I mean, that's a very specific thing to have said to anybody, so yes.
Yeah. It would be. Even if you had told me last week, I might doubt it.
Yeah.
But here we are. So this one is for you, Michael.
Okay.
It's a very stinky prude, native to Borneo and Sumatra. It's a delicacy, but it smells a lot like socks and poop.
Super Freak and jackfruit?
Jackfruit is a fine guess. We were actually looking for durian.
It's happened again. It's happened again, Jonathan Colton.
There was a
it's
time
happened
in a game
again
where we were looking for jackfruit and somebody said durian and we didn't accept that answer and then we got in trouble.
We got more hate mail than any other thing that's ever happened on this show.
Wow,
I love
seriously
that this has come up before.
Yeah, I know, seriously. Wow.
You do a trivia show long
now
enough,
you know,
you run into the same issues.
And I also love that you adapted by deciding to go with the other one this time.
Yeah. We're like, you know what?
Fine, you want durian? We'll do durian. Okay, Amy, this one is for you.
Stinking like the devil, I keep my shoulder stiff, I can't raise my hand up in case you get a whiff. My sweat glands have made me ruin my shirt again.
It's Sly Stone.
That's right. That's right. You know what I'm singing about?
I mean, just armpits?
Armpits is correct.
Yeah.
It is correct.
It is correct, yeah.
I wasn't sure what the target was, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a dig against my my lyric writing, but I accept.
Right. Currently, I would say that my armpits smell like midnight pasta or bottles of wine and not enough showers.
That is, I'm really glad you told me that, Sarah. All right, where are we? Here we go. Michael, this is for you.
Okay.
This fossil fuel has got no smell. If you had a leak, you could never tell. Someone smart added stuff that smells like fart.
I'm not sure. I'm going to say gasoline.
Natural gas.
Natural
is what
we're gas. Oh, okay. Well, James Brown.
James Brown, that's right. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Natural gas does not smell like fart to me.
Agree. I totally agree with that.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the fart, too, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Sure. If you've just been eating eggs.
That's true. Or gas.
Or natural gas.
Or gas. Yeah. You swallowed a lot of natural gas. This is the last one. Amy, this is for you.
It's all riding on this.
Oh, boy.
Yes, he was minding his business, just eating grubs and earthworms. Then he saw a cougar, so he just turned around and I sang spray those funky scent glands, striped boy. Right there near your anus, ew. Spray those funky scent glands, striped boy. Lift up your fluff tail and spray those funky chemicals, LePew.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, dignity is overrated.
It's amazing.
You have hit
it's amazing.
The apex of your thank talents you. With that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Anyway, it's a skunk.
It is a skunk, yeah. Do you know the name of the song?
Play the Funky Music, White Boy is
that's
the song.
Right.
Yeah.
You got the name of the song. You got the stinky thing I was singing about. Well done.
And not only that, guess what? Amy, you won.
I've never been so proud.
Sound a little sarcastic.
I'm glad.
I hope there's some kind of trophy or a cup.
No, we can't
nope,
give
nothing.
You anything that we touched, so
that's
you don't
right.
get anything. just our appreciation.
All right, Amy Mann and Michael Penn. Your next and last game is an audio quiz that is especially relevant given what happened earlier in this episode. It's called Connection Difficulties, and it's all about the sounds you might hear when you are trying to connect to someone or something.
I hope it's AOL circa 1990.
Exactly.
Because that I can identify.
Do not ruin the game. Do not ruin the game. All right, Amy, this is for you. You'll hear this bop when you're waiting to connect with someone on this video chat service.
Oh, yeah. Skype.
Yes.
Skype, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a groovy little tune.
Somebody crafted that sound.
I know. It is pretty groovy.
Although Skype is really rethinking their branding right now. They're like, how did we lose this?
I know.
How did we lose this?
I know.
Yeah.
I have faith in them. They'll figure it out, and then they're going to bounce back with that sound.
That's right.
It is nice.
All right, Michael, this one is for you.
All right.
Okay, name all the stations we just said.
That'd be 93 KHJ, KMET.
So if you are hearing a lot of radio interference, it could be because you're tuned into a station using this older radio technology. Which is older, AM or FM?
AM.
Yeah, you knew that right away.
That was
correct.
Instant
that's
right. answer.
Amplitude modulation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Whoa. We weren't
look
expecting
at Mr.
that.
Over here.
Mr. Smarty Pants.
And of course, the difference between AM and FM is how the radio waves are manipulated to encode the data. So if you look at the sound wave, AM radio, the heights of the waves change, the amplitude changes. And in FM radio, it's how far apart the waves are that changes to encode the information.
Also, FM radio plays deep cuts.
That's right.
All right, Amy.
Sorry, I'm having trouble understanding right now. Please try a little later.
Do you know which of our robot overlords that is?
Oh, it's Alexa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I Alexa. Don't use Alexa because that is scary to have somebody
it is scary.
In your house listening to you and recording things that you say.
You mean like what's happening right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, look around you.
Well, okay, so if that's not scary enough, last year Amazon used something called neural TTS technology to allow Alexa to convey various emotions with her voice.
Oh,
so
God.
Now when she speaks, you can detect like excitement or disappointment at various levels of intensity.
Oh, you know, man. Sometimes I can detect that in Michael. cheap joke.
Cheap, but it's done.
All right, Michael, this is the last question. It's for you.
Okay.
You know what that sound is?
Yes, it's the AOL chat, but I can't remember what it was called. Is it
yeah,
AOL?
No, that's right. It's, yeah. It's AOL Instant Messenger.
Instant Messenger.
That's
right.
Somebody signing off on Instant Messenger.
Yes. Right.
And that door needs some grease.
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought, I was like, why is there a creep? Is everyone leaving through a creepy door? Why is there a creepy door?
Everybody's living in a haunted house in the world of AOL.
Yeah.
So not that points are a big deal, but I just want to let you know that it's a tie.
I challenge the results.
Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us.
This is fun. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but I kind of like it better without an audience.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank
that was
you.
Fun.
Coming up, I'll talk to WTF host Mark Maron, and if we ever needed to know WTF, it's right now. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. You check things all the time, like your email or social media. What about checking something as important as your credit score? Discover makes it quick, easy, and free with their credit scorecard, even if you're not a customer. See your FICO credit score, the score used by 90% of top lenders, and other important credit information. Learn more at discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.
Hey, Mindy here from the Wow in the World science podcast for kids and families. If you're looking for fun ways to educate and entertain your kids, we've got you covered 5 days a week. On Mondays, go on a scientific adventure with Wow in the World, and Tuesdays through Fridays, play along with our new game show, To What's in a Wow. It's Wow in the World from Tinkercast and NPR. Subscribe and listen now.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Okay, we have a special guest, and he is amazing. We've been wanting to have him on the show for years. He hosts the podcast WTF with Mark Maron, and he has a Netflix comedy special out right now called End Times Fun. It's Mark Maron. Hey, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
Have you really wanted to have me on for years?
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like, so this show has been happening for 7 years,
uh-huh.
And I distinctly remember, like, right in the beginning, as we were still kind of envisioning how the show would work, you were on our list. However, we were in New York, you were in LA.
Oh, so it had to be done in New York. It's like my show. You only do it live, face-to-face.
Yeah, because usually we're at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
At the Bell House. And,
that's right.
And Jonathan plays songs.
That's yeah. right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Now we're stuck in our home studios now. It's a very different,
right.
very different vibe all of a sudden.
Now, Mark, you asked if we had met before. And
yes.
The truth is
yeah.
that when I moved to New York, I moved to New York in 2001, and I would go to Eating It in
yeah.
the Lower East Side at the old Luna Lounge because I was
right.
doing stand-up and I wanted to be part of that show. And obviously, that was a huge part of your life.
Okay, so I did meet you. I probably was rude to you or did something bad.
Well, it was, to be honest with you,
Let's get it out. Let's process it.
Actually, honestly, we didn't have a lot of interaction because I was a comic from Canada trying to be part of a New York scene. And you guys were all the people doing it. And I just, you know, honestly just wanted to be liked and hang out with people. That's all.
Right. So that was like, that's how I know your name, that and from this show. But like it felt like your name was deep in there in my head.
So which is, you know, I think about when I moved there, and you know more about it because you were part of that scene and I just swooped in. But to think back to a time where alternative comedy was a thing. It was a thing people were scared of. Clubs were mad about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was basically just people trying to create their own stuff.
I guess so. Yeah, that's for sure. I was coming at it from a club background. And for me, that venue just provided the idea that we had to go with something fresh and, you know, improvisational every week. Or maybe that was what I decided
in my head. That was the premise, right? That everyone was supposed to bring new material?
I think so, yeah. And that's always been sort of the way I write. So to force me into it on a weekly basis was a very useful tool that I still use, and it was easier to do it there than to do it at a mainstream comedy club. So I still do all of my writing in real time on stage by taking ideas and thoughts up there. I don't know how it happens. I really don't. It's like some sort of weird magic. But like the new special took me 2 years to really sort of bring it all together and have a through line and land somewhere. And it was sort of evolving right up until the week that I did it. Then I really tightened it up and I really made some choices around it. But I think eating it or that show down there was really helpful to me.
So your special is called End Times Fun and just came out a couple weeks ago. How does it feel, first of all, to have a prophetic comedy special? Because it sounds, I could say right now I'm recording a comedy special called End Times, and people would just assume that I'm streaming it from my living room this week. But you actually recorded this
October. Yeah. Well, I mean, these are themes that, you know, certainly they became more immediate to me. I mean, since even the last special, Too Real, sort of has underlying, it has jokes in there referring to that political shift, and that was done in 2017, but it wasn't the original name for the show, really, but it was the same idea. But I was very dead set on calling that show Jeremiad, and and Robbie at Netflix was like, we're not calling it that. I'm like, but that's what it is. It's going to be a Jeremiad. And he's like, I don't know what that is. No one's going to know what it is. And, you know, you have that up on the menu on Netflix. They're not going to know it's a comedy. They're not, you know, they have to know it's a comedy special. And I was like, but it has to be Jeremiad. We'll put the definition up next to it.
Yeah. And they're like, we love definitions.
Hold on a minute. I'll tell you what the definition is. A long, mournful complaint or lamentation, a list of woes.
Yeah.
I thought, like, and then we'll just put in parentheses, but funny.
But funny.
And then start the special.
Comedy right. Jeremiah.
Yeah. But he was like, nope. And I'm like, fine. And then I'm like, End Times Fun. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But I think people are hanging that somehow it's prophetic in this COVID-19 thing that we're involved in. But I think maybe it's an observation about people and about, you know, catastrophic times.
Yeah. You know, and I was just thinking from the point of view of, so you have this material that is part of the special that was recorded in October and you're working on it for 1.5 years. But let's just say the timeline was shifted.
Yeah.
You would not, I mean, that material, you would have to throw that material away to a certain extent.
Everyone's going to have to throw their material away now.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even know if we're going to be able to perform in front of real people anymore, live, living people. Or it might just have to be, you know, collect an audience through, you know, Zoom meetings. How many little head boxes can you get on one screen? How high does it go?
It's kind of crazy. It's like podcasting was a thing that grew and grew and grew until it just, now it's the whole world. Everybody's podcasting all the time, just in their personal interactions. Everybody's talking into a microphone wearing earphones.
Yes, it's true. It's true. That is the world we live in.
Mark, when you started WTF in 2009, You talked about it. You were broke, depressed, divorced. Yeah. At that moment, nobody was doing podcasts.
It was not a popularized medium, nor was it, were there any really methods of making a living that you could really bank on. I think right. that there were a few guys doing something, and I was coming out of radio, and I needed to do something.
Yeah.
And we figured out how to do it. But yeah, the early group, the community of podcasters, all of us sort of had to learn as we went, you know, because like, after I started, I think Rogan came on and Hardwick started. I mean, I think they started after me. Doug Benson might have been going already. But there were a handful of us that came out of comedy that knew each other. Me and Brendan, my producer, we didn't know what we were going to do. We were taking donations and sending stickers and T-shirts to people. I was had a house full of, envelopes, going out to people that we could, kind of talked into making a monthly donation of $5 to $10. And, we really had to just figure out how to, make a business out of it.
Right.
So, yeah, it got a little weird. It is a little weird. And, I always discourage people there.
I do too. I always discourage people. So you're doing stand-up at the same time that you are starting doing WTF.
Always doing stand-up. I'm a stand-up
always
comic.
Doing stand-up.
It's my job.
Touring, everything. Yeah. And then, of course, as the popularity of the podcast increases, your shows, I'm sure it just changes for you.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people early on that came over from the radio, from the political radio that I was doing, but I didn't really, I stopped doing politics when I started the podcast altogether.
Yeah.
But some of them hung around, but then people started to come around, and then I got to be known as an interviewer, and as this, people would love me as an interviewer, and I'd be like, but I do stand-up. It used to aggravate me. Like,
yeah.
They didn't know my stand-up, but as time went on, everyone kind of started to know everything, and now, Glow's involved, and there's
right.
just, unless you're a certain level of celebrity, a lot of people still don't know who I am or which me is me. Like, a lot of people still can watch Glow and be like, I didn't know he was a stand-up, or he has a podcast. I mean, those questions are asked around the world every day alongside of, like, do you think I have it? My throat hurts. So...
And then, of course, on top of it, acting, Glow is obviously an amazing hit on Netflix. You play Sam Sylvia, the women's wrestling coach and promoter.
The manager, yeah, the director guy. But yeah, the acting thing, it's an odd... When I started the podcast, I had sort of given up on and really let go of most of my dreams because I was in a bad place. I couldn't sell tickets as a comic. I don't even think I had acting representation. I knew I did comedy, but it wasn't like I was nationally known or could put asses in seats. I certainly didn't have an acting career. I'd done some radio. But the thing is weird is that I do think in my heart that I did let it go. Like, there's a certain point in your life, and there's a thing I was always hung up on in my head, which was like, you have to realize your limitations. Part of being a grown-up, and accepting sort of where you are. I knew I didn't have a plan B, but it didn't seem like I was going to be a big comic or have any of, or get my own TV show or any of that. And I just had to grow up and deal. And I let it go. And then because of the podcast, a lot of these opportunities started happening. And I did my own show for 4 seasons and I was cast on Glow. I knew what was up. I wasn't afraid of it. I'd been on a set. The character, for me, the one problem with being an actor is people know me very well from my comedy and from the podcast that they're like, well, you're just kind of doing you. It's like, well, I think most actors are, but you just happen to know me better. So I don't get the option of mystique. Which
right.
is sort of annoying.
Right.
But like Sam is, he's not quite me. He doesn't have any self-awareness and he's not neurotic. So, there was some craft applied.
By the way, how are the cats doing with the quarantine?
Oh, they're great. I'm here all the time. They love
and
it.
And they love that. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, it's hard to tell with cats, I think they love it. They could be like, why is he here all the time now? But oddly, Monkey is doing okay. His sister died a few months ago and I'm, but he's okay. I gave him subcutaneous fluids last night, but I don't know. Like it's a trip, man. But yeah. I mean, he's got hypothyroid and his kidneys are starting to go, but he's been good. And the other one, Buster the Kitten, is getting fat and beats up on the old man monkey. And, you know, they're all right. I just got the two. But but they seem good right now.
We have a silly fun quiz for you.
Mm.
Did you watch Cats?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Perfect.
Good.
That's really?
Gonna help. Yeah. Because we know you're a cat lover. And so your game is called Did This Happen in the 2019 film adaptation of the timeless Andrew Lloyd Webber stage musical Cats.
Mm.
So if you manage not to see this movie, good for you. But the actors are covered head to toe in computer-generated digital fur.
Mm.
So this game is about some of the out there things that happened in the movie. You just answer true or false.
Do I get to know how many I got right at the end?
Absolutely. Okay. All we do is tally.
Okay, good.
All right, Mark, true or false?
Yeah.
In the movie version of Cats, there's a song and dance number featuring mice played by children and cockroaches with human faces.
God, I hope so. I want to say yes.
Yes, it's true. Yes. Yes.
Now I want to see it.
It is a disturbing sequence.
Seems like the whole thing's kind of disturbing.
Well, the whole thing is kind of disturbing, but that in particular comes very early in the film. And it's
I have a very hard time watching movies because they're bad.
Me
Some
too.
People can do it. Like, people are like, oh, this is great. It's so bad. I'm like, I'm out.
All right, here's another one for you, Mark.
Yeah.
Sir Ian McKellen laps up milk from an oversized dish.
Oh, yes.
Just picture it in your mind.
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Also happens. It's totally gross. It's not a thing that you want to see.
Oh my God, I got to see this now.
Jenny Annie Dots, played by Rebel Wilson, unzips her skin to reveal a costume underneath.
Why would you make that up?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with true.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Another thing that happens. It's like
that would be
a weird...
too creative to make up.
I just want to say somebody made it up because it's in
somebody
the movie.
Made it up. Just, right. They were so it's like Silence of the Lambs meets Cats. How exciting!
Wow, I gotta see it now.
Yeah,
James Corden as Busterfer Jones rolls around in garbage and then takes a swig of a champagne bottle.
That's gotta be that probably really happened to James Corden
like all the time. That's just what he does.
They took that right from James Corden's life. That's definitely happened in
that
Cats.
Totally happened. Yeah. That totally happened.
Here's another one. James Corden's late-night rival Seth Meyers briefly appears as the host of Late Night with Seth Meowers.
No.
You're doing very well. That is false.
That okay,
we
got
to say,
right.
None of these seem any more or less crazy to me.
I know, they're all the same.
You've got good radar.
Thank you very much. Am I going to win?
It's looking good. We've got two more.
Oh, okay.
Just remember what the stakes are.
They're high.
They're super high. All right. Idris Elba's character, McCavity, appears on a magazine cover as the sexiest cat alive. True or false?
True.
I'm sorry. That is false. Oh, yeah.
Your first weakness. We found your first weakness.
It's okay. It's okay. Idris Elba, by the way, is doing better.
Is he?
Yeah, I checked before we decided to have this question because I was like, God, if the guy is...
Oh, yeah.
That's a good call. All right, here's your last question. In the original theatrical release, the special effects weren't finished and Dame Judi Dench's real human hand could be seen.
No. False.
That is true.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't get to it.
I know. Such a haphazard approach to filmmaking, Cats. Mark, I know we said we tally. And we did, but you know what? It doesn't matter, okay? You did great.
Thank you very much.
You can watch Mark's latest comedy special, End Times Fun, on Netflix right now, and you can hear episodes of his podcast every Monday and Thursday. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks. That was fun, you guys. Take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Mark.
That's our show. But before we go, last week we asked you to call the Ask Me Another hotline and tell us what's the most shameful thing you've eaten in quarantine, and you did not disappoint. Here it is.
Hey, AMA team. This is Robert Might in Fresno, California.
This is Matthew Murguia from Kensington, Maryland.
This is Lydia Katzel from Seattle, Washington.
This is Franny Verito from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
This is Stephanie Shattuck from San Francisco, California.
Nancy McLemore, Birmingham, Alabama. I fried up some okra, but the okra tasted a little bit like funnel cake, and I dipped it in powdered sugar.
Frito and egg tacos.
I put coffee grounds and chocolate pudding in hopes of making mocha pudding. It didn't work. It was just gritty.
4 pieces of cherry pie a la mode, followed by a glazed donut chaser.
I had vodka and crackers for dinner on Friday night.
I have eaten nothing but tuna salad sandwiches for about a week now. I really hope I get something else to eat soon. And I will. Okay. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Tell us the weird things you're eating. Call our hotline. It's 848-999-4932. That's 8-XXX-IWEB. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Kyrie Greenberg, Carol Lee, Emily Winter, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Ashley Brooke Roberts and Kate Villa. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Nick Garrison. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC, and I can't wait to get back to the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Next time on Ask Me Another, we're in Dallas, Texas, with singer-songwriter Alejandro Escovedo. He explains what it was like to grow up in a big musical family, the year he lived at the Chelsea Hotel, and his new album, The Crossing. Then we challenge him to a custom version of This, That, or the Other. So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.